whole life of life. Give them all that I got. G-O-D, till I'm great, till the day that I die. I'm a beast, I can't starve, like my heart is on fire. And we all in your street, come all in your street.
I go hard, go. Jesus Christ, that's all we had. As he laid me down to sleep, promise I ain't looking back. Bro, they just might put me out, cause I'm too much on how to act. Cause my pot still make it sell. Homeboy still locked in jail. Let home tell him, you'll tell him, you will tell him, need who will tell. By how I got peace tonight, by how I can sleep tonight. Eastbrook on my brick steps to my product, cause Jesus Christ, so
soul out for life.
It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake, Main Man Radio Show. Yeah, boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we taping live on location tonight, man. Live from the back deck of the Main Man Radio Show. Famous guest host, the Humidor. Humidor, what's up with your boy?
It's just a wonderful night to be here. Yes, sir. Don't get any better than this.
Yes, sir. Big Drake, what's up with your boy?
Hey, you know me. But Kingpin, I do have a question. I mean,
yeah, go on, let it be.
I guess, I mean, technically every night that we tape, we do tape live.
Yeah.
Actually. So technically we ain't taping live.
Oh yeah, because ain't nobody listening to us right now. So maybe not live, but we take it on location.
We're together.
We are together, but it is on location.
Yes. Location at the Humidor back deck next to the beautiful lake. Well, we living out here in the preserve, Auburn, Alabama. Holla at your boy, Kingpin Big Drake the Humidor. We in here.
I'm just saying, man. So if y'all ain't never kicked it with your boys, man, I'm telling you, anytime you got an opportunity, you fall down to the beautiful city of Auburn, Alabama, man. Swing down by the preserve, man. If you want a spot to truly just chill out, the Humidor got this back deck, and this thing be on lips.
Hey, best cigar lounge in Auburn.
Personal Humidor, he got all the. That's why we call the Humidor, man. I mean, hey, you want to find out? Even if you've never smoked cigars before, you come hang out with the Humidor, he going to put you on something.
Yes, he is.
There it is, there.
Hey, man, great night, man. We sat back on the back deck, man, watching the big screen, man, watching the 85-year-old Matt Hasselbeck with the Indianapolis Colts, man. And I think they flashing up. They flashing up, though. This is the 98 draft, bro.
Oh, wow.
I graduated high school in 98.
So did I.
1998. Peyton Manning and Hasselbeck and right. Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
All three of them still in the league.
The only three from the 98
draft. Only three from the 98 draft.
Yeah.
And they really actually threw me because I thought Peyton and Hasselbeck went right after Marino. And I thought it was in
I'm just going to interject for a second.
Uh-huh.
You said Peyton Manning,
yep.
Charles Woodson, Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
One of them names don't belong there.
Right. Which one of these don't belong?
Sesame Street runner right there.
Which one of these don't belong?
Which one of us is doing our own thing?
Well, I mean, what are you supposed to say when your starting quarterback is older than your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and all the other assistant coaches?
He might be tit for tat for the head coach.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He pressing it.
Can you bet against your own team?
I don't know. Can you? But
I would.
I guarantee you that's the best place tonight. I'm saying how these boys go in up plus square it off.
For the Colts, I'm betting the under.
I would. I'm taking. You know, and the crazy part is, you know, as I was watching, you know, Houston Texans, they started out with Mallet. They all run about the same speed.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is not an English class.
But they're about the same speed. Mallet's about as fast as a mummy.
You're right.
But they started out with Mallet, man. I'm looking over the roster of the Texans, bro. I don't know that they have a quality quarterback on the whole roster.
They don't, and that's why you guys help me out. Either they've only won one game, or they haven't won any games.
I think they got one. Because they got one last week, didn't they?
No, that was the Atlanta game.
Yeah. Like, they got Grease last week.
I think they won the very first game.
Okay, and it's been
HBO Hard Knocks was there doing the two-day camp and all that stuff, and things were looking very promising. You know, I can relate that to Auburn.
Yeah.
Things may look promising, but when you actually have to play somebody else, a lot of stuff can happen.
Yeah, it's like one of them. So my son, he was temporarily on the Green Bay High School football until he decided he wasn't going to do them grades. Temporarily.
Okay.
Until he decided he wasn't going to get them grades. But, okay. And, you know, so he came through summer or whatever, and I talked to him. I was like, you know, Green Bay wasn't that good yet. He said, no, but I think we're going to be pretty good this year. I said, so what is it to you? I mean, look at it in practice, man. I mean, we really look good.
Okay.
I said, that's against each other.
Yeah.
I said, a whole lot of team. You know, my little league football team, we look good in practice.
Yeah.
If I could videotape practices, you see what we bought. You think we beast. But we ain't won a game.
I can just imagine Matt Hasselbeck in the tunnel. Like, everybody give it a hype speech. Like, if you're a Saints fan, you see Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, the one, two, three.
Yeah.
You put your hand in there with Matt Hasselbeck and everybody. Hey, get it in, guys. Lose on three.
Hey, fellas, come on. How many you got? Free coffee on four. Free coffee on four.
AARP. AARP. But in his defense, they did win last week.
They did. I'll tell you this, Big Drake. You know he got admitted to the emergency room immediately after the victory.
Yes, you told me.
And it didn't get out of Tuesday. So, how much older can you get,
I mean,
brother?
I mean, the game wear and tear on everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when you do have an actual ARP card, you know, it really wears on your body, and you might not be able to get up for a couple of days.
That's right. I mean, I completely expect. I really wonder, is he still playing only because that he is a sponsor of Icy Hot?
Yeah, you got to get them numbers in.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get that money in, man. So, I ain't going to hate on. I wish, though, at 40, you know, if I still had the ability to play in the NFL, you know. Well, I mean, I never got there. So, I mean, even at 40, I really can't hate on the man.
Well, he's been in the league almost 20 years, and a good 19, 20 of them, he hadn't played at all. So, he should be pretty fresh.
That's right, he should be fresh.
Well, I mean, you know, he did. Let's not forget. He did take Seattle to a Super Bowl.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Yes.
What year?
He took when Holmgren. Am I saying it right? Holmgren.
Mm-hmm. Holmgren. Holmgren.
Alexander.
Holmgren.
Sean Alexander.
Yes.
Yeah.
He took him to a Super Bowl. Now
they ain't win.
They didn't win. But he took him there, and you remember he is the same quarterback. Right before they went to the Super Bowl, they were in one of the championship games. Listeners, forgive me. I don't know if Seattle's in the AFC or NFC.
NFC.
But NFC, thank you, Humidor. But I can't recall who they were playing, but doing the coin flip of overtime, they received the ball. They won the toss. They said, we're going to get the ball, and we're going to score. And when he said that was kind of his downfall because, you know, during overtime, especially during the playoffs, they have all that mic'd.
Yeah.
So everybody heard, we're going to get the ball, and we're going to score. And, of course, the other team, I want to say he threw a pick six, if I'm not mistaken.
He didn't lie to him. They scored.
And he was the causer.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, technically, the ball he threw did score.
That's right. He was not too off on what he said, man.
He was just doing the J.J. Johnson. He just throwing it to the wrong team.
Man, so like I said, man, it's a lovely night out here, man, hanging out on the back deck with my boys. Man, it's good to be in town, man, hanging out with y'all boys, man. Every time I get a chance to come through, man, we already know what time. Last night we said, hey, we're going to make it a quick night, man. Uh-huh. We're just going to hang out for a little bit, and we end up leaving at 12:30.
Yes.
On a school night.
On a school night.
Yes, on a school night. And one out of three wasn't able to go to school the next day.
That's right. Who didn't go to school?
That's neither here nor there. There's no need to dwell in the past.
Who didn't make it to class the next morning? Brother, man, like I said, it's a great, great time to be hanging out with y'all boys, man. Bro, so we talked a little bit on the NFL, man. We got to get to some of these games from last week, man. You know, first of all, you know we got to talk about AU a little bit, man. So we played San Jose State. Big Drake and I got to go ahead on and put that out there. we still look like hot garbage. So they talked about how good San Jose State's little running back was. But, you know, again, he still went to San Jose State, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was beast molding us, man.
Well, this is going to be a little disappointing to the listeners. I did not watch the game. This time, my job sent me to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So, listeners, if you ever get a chance to go to Chattanooga, please go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
They have an awesome aquarium, the Tennessee Aquarium.
Very nice aquarium.
But I was actually traveling while the game was being played. So I listened to it, but, you know, listening and watching, you just get two different perspectives.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the defense had a lot of turnovers. They caused a lot of turnovers.
They did cause a lot of turnovers. Yeah, they was out there.
And it seemed like from listening to the broadcast on kickoffs, which we had a lot of kickoffs, which tells me that they were scoring a lot, that when they kicked the ball off, we had some good returns.
We did. Well, I mean, the special teams player of the week in the SEC was Rudy Ford.
Okay.
So Rudy had it. But hold on. I got to take a pause, Big Dre. You cannot deprive the listeners of what they tune in to the Made Men Radio Show to hear.
Okay.
As one of our listeners said, y'all the only sports radio show that talk far more about food than anything else. So you talking about the visit to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes.
You got to tell them about the highlight of your visit, brother.
Okay, so the first night we get there, my wife was able to go along with me, so it was kind of like a baby moon.
Yeah, okay.
So we stayed downtown, and we were able to walk pretty much everywhere we wanted to go. And when we got there that Saturday, we just went walking. We knew we were hungry. You know, we did a little research, but, you know, nothing for real. And all of the places that popped up on TripAdvisor and so forth were like extravagant restaurant fine dining and hearty breakfasts. So we just wanted something. It was about five in the evening. So we just went walking, and we came across this pizza joint called Loopy's. And I may be pronouncing it wrong, but it's LUPI'S. And we think it's Loopy's.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
It's a pizza joint. Bar none, the best pizza I've ever had in my entire life. Now, listeners, I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. I've had plenty of pizza in my life. I've probably eaten more pizza than the average human being. So I know a thing or two about pizza.
That's right.
And this was the best pizza I've had. We had, I can't remember the name of it, but we had Italian sausage, but it wasn't just your regular Italian sausage. This was sliced, linked Italian sausage, which was some fine Italian sausage. We had pepperoni, cured ham, bacon, beef crumbles or whatever.
Yeah, ground beef.
Ground beef.
Yeah.
We had mushrooms, because I'm a mushroom fan. I love mushrooms. If I get anything Italian, I'm going to have some mushrooms in there. And onions. And just the quality of the cheese and the dough. Like, that pizza was... So anybody that know me or anybody that listen to the show know we are meat eaters.
Yeah,
we are carnivore.
I'm a carnivore. Yep.
That pizza was so good that I wish I could... If somebody would just bless me with a cheese pizza from that place right now, I'd take it. And if somebody tried to take a slice, I'd fight them for it. I'd fight them to the death.
All right, even your mama. You fight your mama.
She getting touched up.
You don't grease her.
And mama, if y'all don't know who my grandmother is, we call her mama.
We love mama.
I mean, mama, you can't help but to love her. She fuss just to fuss.
Yeah, that's right.
But you can't help but to love her. But let mama touch that pizza and see what happened to her.
Grease with a metal chair. You dinting up the metal chair with her?
I'm taking a couple bottles across her head. Filled. And not no empty bottles either. They gonna be filled bottles. You know, filled bottles. Filled bottles hurt a little bit more now.
Here with
a
1738 bottle.
1738. So, I mean, if you ever get a chance to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, one of the first places eating wise you have to go is Loopy's or Loupe's. I'm sorry. I'm not an English professor.
The owner of this establishment, if you listen to our radio show, please call us and let us know which what's the correct pronunciation, and can you please send us a pizza out there. Hey, is there anybody else other than me? Romeo Crennel scares the daylights out of me when looking at things. I mean, he just looks like, I don't even know what he looks like. He kind of look, he that
Well, Kingpin, I think the problem you're having is it's hard to tell where the neck and chest in the beginning.
Oh, it's because it's all connected.
It's all there.
His jaw sit on his shoulders.
His jaw sit on his titties. So,
but he
so, and I'm just being real. I mean,
he has that. I don't want to call him. He has that ashy, greasy black look. I mean, I'm serious. He looks like a wax figure. He has that wax figure black color. You know what I'm saying? And it's a shiny, but it's kind of ashy. Kind of like he's been in bone.
You know who else has a funny look is Vern Lundquist.
Lundquist does. Oh,
like.
He looked imitation.
Yeah. Well, listeners, anybody, okay, you just heard me. I'm 6'5", 300. Mm-hmm. Kingpin's a plus size dude. We some big guys. Yeah. They'll call me Big Drake.
That's right.
Hey, this ain't no novelty like Big Sean, who Big Sean probably will buck 25
so you're
wet.
Right.
So no, I'm really big. But Vern Lundquist looks so big, he look uncomfortable.
He does. He does.
I watch those games. You know how they do the little preview with him and Gary talking?
Yeah.
I told my wife, I'll give you $10 if he can button a button on that jacket.
He doggone sure can't button that top button on his dress shirt.
No. And is it just me, but has he not gained weight over
here? Oh, he had. The more weight he's gained, the dumber he's gotten being a commentator. I cannot stand the two of them because they. You talking about some people during the game. And I think, Kingpin, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this horrible will mispronounce names. Now look, I'm mispronouncing Lupe's or Lupe's Pizza, but we're talking about the Made Men radio show.
That's right.
Compared to somebody that's on CBS that's getting paid a ton of money to do this, who's I guess is in broadcasting and journalism.
Yeah,
this is your job.
Been for a long time.
Yes,
this is our side. This is our hobby.
Yeah, yes,
that's right. This is
what we do for fun.
Yeah, this is what we do for fun.
They actually give him the players' names,
yes,
and they tell him how to pronounce it.
Yes,
he still gets it wrong.
Yes.
Well, I mean, first of all, he's 796. So, I mean, by the time he's time for the pronounce.
Are you talking about Asian pounds?
Both.
Okay. I just need a clarification, Kingpin. I'm sorry.
796 by 796. By the time he's ready to pronounce, he'd have forgotten even what it is. And ain't Vern Lundquist the same one that Oogled and Googled over A.J. McCarron's
chick? No. That was
Brent Musburger.
Yeah. Oh, Musburger, yeah.
Another guy who's slave old.
But do y'all remember Mark Alberts when he had that little sex scandal where he was biting a prostitute or something? He was.
Paid good money for her.
He paid good money. They shouldn't have to report that. I don't understand that. I mean,
history tells us, hey, of course, the Made Men radio show does not condone the oldest profession known to man.
No.
But by any chance, if that's what you choose to do.
We're all married men.
Yes.
Happily.
That's what you choose to do. And I'm pretty sure them cats, if y'all remember the Secret Service scandal a couple years ago, and Warren Sapp just as early as last year, if that's the route you choose to do, please pay him. Please pay him.
I heard Warren Sapp got. So Warren Sapp lost a good job over $20. She wanted $120, he had $100.
And we know, I mean, now Warren Sapp did have to file for bankruptcy.
Okay.
But 50 Cent had to file for bankruptcy. We know when them cats file for bankruptcy,
they
ain't got nothing to do with their.
That's right.
He could have you know what? Hey, you know what they say. I'm not paying you to come over and do what you do, I'm paying you to leave and keep your mouth shut.
There you go.
So if it's going to take 20 extra bones for her to leave and keep her mouth shut, Warren Sapp, do what you got to do. But you know what? After he got arrested, of course, they fired him.
Yeah.
The people on that show, his co-workers, instead of saying, hey, we're going to miss Warren, he was a good guy, he was this, he was that, they were ecstatic that he was no longer going to be a part of the show. And they're like, he is the worst human being you ever want to meet. We can't stand him. He's all about himself.
Yeah.
To the lower members of the show, maybe production and sound guys, he had them refer to him as Hall of Famer Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
And not like a joke.
Mr. Yeah. Like, yeah, you will refer to me at all times as Hall of Famer Warren Sapp.
Yes.
I did hear that. I heard that everybody on that show was ecstatic that he was no longer on the show.
And it kind of hurt my feelings because I've always been a Warren Sapp fan.
Yeah, that one. I was lost on that one. Nobody defended him. They just went in on him.
Yes.
They piled on.
Now let me ask you something. Big Drake, it was while we were off the air, so we never got a chance to talk about it. Have y'all seen the clip of Warren Sapp And what's the wide receiver? No. Yeah, Chris Carter. The speech that they gave 2 years ago at the Rookie Symposium, but the video just leaked out over the summer.
No, I have not.
Have you?
Was that the one where Chris Carter told him you got to have a fall guy?
The one that Chris Carter said you got to have a fall guy.
No, I'm lost.
So 2 years ago, at the Rookie Symposium, one part of the Rookie Symposium, they had some of the former players come on. They sitting on stage talking to the rookies or whatever. And this would happen to be Warren Sapp and Chris Carter. Well, first and foremost, NFL, I don't understand what your thought process was of having Warren Sapp and Chris Carter do the Rookie Symposium. Because you're going to get truth there. Right? Mm. So they talked a whole lot of stuff, man. Talked about, you know, being able to protect yourself. But Chris Carter told all those cats. He said, so if you're going to be dumb, what you got to do, you got to have a fall guy. And Sapp said, Sapp just dropped his head and said, you going to go there? You going to go there?
So basically, he's saying, first of all, travel in the group.
No, yeah, hold on. So he goes on to explain himself.
Okay.
He said, and Chris Carter said, no, Sapp, we got to be honest with these boys. That's the problem. Ain't nobody tell them the truth. He said, well, all right, if we go in there, we go in there. And he said, so guys, you know what a fall guy is. He said, a fall guy is that guy in your crew that know if everybody ride my coattail, the thing everybody in the crew got to understand is I can't go down.
Yes.
It's exactly what Mike Vick didn't have.
Well, it sounded like it's also exactly what Warren Sapp didn't have. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. But continue.
So he was telling me that fall guy. Now, I have no... It's going to sound wrong.
Okay.
I don't have any problem with what he said because I actually believe it. Mm-hmm. I agree. If I'm the one that's providing for all of us, mm-hmm. I'm not the one that goes down. I don't care if I did it.
You the checkbook.
I'm the checkbook.
You gotta protect the checkbook.
You don't take the checkbook out. Yeah. You can take the car picker up out.
Yeah.
You can take the food picker up out. Yeah. You can take the chick getter out. You can take any of the rest of these cats out, but you don't take the checkbook
out.
Can't take the money out.
Well, and for the Made Men listeners, if you are not if you are not a professional athlete, that fall guy usually is your wife. So, my wife knows that the car gets pulled over and I got dope, she's doing time. She might not know it, but she knows it now.
Hey, if the listeners, or excuse me, the family, remember when the Chris Rock had his own show. And that one sketch where you never ride dirty with an angry black woman, because as soon as the cop pull up, she'll be like, he got weed. So be careful with that humidor. Make sure you...
Please have that conversation prior to the cops showing up.
Before they set you up.
I'm a firm believer in that.
You know, I'm a firm believer in tail first.
Hey, sometimes you need to ask forgiveness and ask permission.
First man tail wins. At least first man tail stays out of jail.
I watched enough first 48 episodes to know that my wife got to take that.
Yeah, she got to take the rap on that. I understand that. But anyway, so they called a lot of flack for that, man. And he went on there. What kind of kid struck me about this, these videos have been available on NFL.com ever since it was taped.
Wow.
Mm. It just now came to light this summer. And somebody was watching and was like, hold on, did he just say what I thought he said? And it happened because I can't remember which one
somebody
of the rooks. No, one of the rooks, and one of the white rookies that was at the symposium at the time.
Okay.
2 years later, he had an interview.
But Kingpin, did you hear what you just said?
I did.
Repeat what you just said.
It was one of the white rookies.
Okay.
All right. Then 2 years later, in an interview, he mentions that, hey, 2 years ago, Chris Carter told us we had to have a fall guy. And I was so disgusted, I felt like walking out. And that caused people to go and start researching to find the tapes. And then they see the video. It's like, but the video's always been out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it had to be other folks that heard the stuff and just really didn't have a problem with it. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, let's be honest, because one thing I believe we like to do on the Made Men Radio Show is keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
You know, when you have white and black players,
of course,
they come from different backgrounds.
That's right.
And different cultures.
Different realities.
Yes. A lot of times in the black culture, in the black reality, you're going to have friends who are known to the media as homeboys, or partners, or whatever you want to call them, that in the black community, I can speak from personal experience. I mean, you have friends that really, no matter what they're into, if they're into selling drugs, using drugs, stealing or whatever, because you're an athlete, they live vicariously through you.
Yeah.
And they will do certain things to make sure that you're taken care of while you're playing your respective sport.
That's right.
So, because we are friends, when I make it, you make it.
That's right.
And if I know that's most of our reality, then I would appreciate somebody giving me a perspective.
That's right.
Now, if that's not my reality and I have no clue,
I disregard that.
Yes.
That don't mean to me.
And it might be offensive. That's right. Like, whoa, what is he talking about here? But you have to
understand. He must ain't talking to me.
Yes.
But now, so I don't even know how I pulled us down this rabbit hole. But since we're on here, I need to nominate somebody for the Fall Guy Hall of Fame.
Okay.
All-time greatest Fall Guy ever.
And by you saying that, family, that'll be our little survey for the week.
Yeah.
You give us...
Anybody, the greatest fall... people that had the greatest Fall Guys in history.
I'm throwing one in there.
Hold on. Don't steal my thunder.
Go ahead.
So, I think this man's Fall Guy takes the cake.
Okay.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, it is.
Barry Bonds' Fall Guy sat in jail for almost a year. And they brought him back up. He said, are you ready to talk? No. To this day, six, seven, 8 years since Barry stepped on the mound, since the whole steroid investigation, Barry Bonds' Fall Guy still ain't never said nothing.
All right, so that was my first choice.
Yeah.
And my second choice, the rapper Shine, lost his whole career being the Fall Guy to Puffy.
Yeah.
Puffy is a billionaire now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shine.
Yeah. Ain't Shine still in prison?
He's out of prison and he's...
And Puffy didn't even give him a CD.
Well, I mean, at the time, Puffy was still worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He couldn't go down for...
The
little stuff. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
The most recent... Now, this ain't... It's big on those two levels that you just gave, but the most recent Fall Guy is old buddy that worked for the Patriots, the little manager football dude.
Big Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody knows, and Kingpin, we talk about this all the time. Yeah. We talked about doing it on this show.
Yeah.
About, me breaking
playing
down.
The tape, yeah, showing how he was lying.
But, that guy even lost his job and everything.
He did. But, now I will go on record and saying, and I hate him. I can't stand him. Robert Kraft, the whole Patriots organization. But they went so gutter that they went back to Goodell and took it to the courts to beat him.
Yeah.
And after they beat him, then you know what they filed for that dude to be reinstated.
Yep.
That dude got a job back.
And one thing I will say, they take care of theirs.
I'm
going to just say, he is the glue that holds that Super Bowl trophy together.
You know who's that? Old buddy?
Yeah, he ought to get a ring.
He ought to
be in the pictures.
That's right.
Because he held it down for
him. He did.
He's the true MVP.
He is.
Not the guy that caught the interception.
Yeah. You the real MVP.
Yes.
Fall Guy, you the real MVP. So, where was I going before I even took us? I have no clue where I was even headed out.
But see, that's the beauty about the Mamie.
Because we talk what we talk. We talk about what real stuff is like.
Yes.
All right, so fellas, look, we got to talk a little bit about the... we talked about the pizza.
We went from Chattanooga to pizza to Fall Guys.
We went from Auburn, San Jose State. Yeah, prostitution took us that way. And that's how Warren Sapp came in.
Speaking of prostitution, what's going on in Louisville?
What's going on in Louisville?
Is there anybody out there that thought when they read that report? Is there anybody that read that report and said, oh, this a lie?
Nah,
I didn't.
I wanted to go buy the book.
That's right. I was like, yeah, she probably telling the truth in that. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind whether or not that happened. So I'll just say this. I was on a college campus for a program that wasn't even competing for national championship type stuff.
No.
But actively recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a part of being approached about hosting events for recruits coming in. This is my former life now. I am a changed man. I'm no longer what I used to be.
Come on.
But I had been approached about hosting events for young recruits coming in, and I think on several occasions members of Phi Beta Sigma and some of these type events we used to host was specifically targeted at a time when we knew we had several recruits coming in. So it was not far-fetched for me to be able to hear, you know, the Louisville incident.
That is the glue that produces championships. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to play a part. And that's why the Patriots are who they are. They are dedicated from Bob Kraft down to the manhandling football.
Gutter all the way.
We all in this together.
We in it together. They are the epitome of all in.
Now, I will
one
say
man,
this.
One sign.
One man, one sign.
I will
sign.
Say this. The way the Patriots handled that, I liken it to the way Auburn handled the Cam Newton thing.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, I'm an Alabama fan. I know Georgia fans, LSU fans, all of them mad about the whole Cam Newton situation. But I said, what you need to do is you need to look at how they handled that. Instead of opening the doors for the NCAA to come in and just do you, they drew a line in the sand and they said,
who going down?
We lawyered up.
Yeah.
Y'all figure it out because we ain't going to give it to you.
Nah, that's right.
Now, everybody
prove
else,
was wrong.
USC, Penn State, Alabama, everybody else who's got him with major sanctions, opens the doors, rolls the red carpet out, invites the NCAA in, and I have yet to see the NCAA say at a press conference, we were really going to hammer these guys, but
since they were honest.
Since they were honest and rolled the red carpet out.
We're going to let them slide.
We're going to take two, scholarships
nope.
or something.
Nope.
Nope. They get up there and say, thank you for rolling the red carpet out.
This is what we found.
Now we're about to bury you.
That's right.
So I'm not going to get into what happened, who did it, was it wrong, was it right. All I'm going to say is that you have to. It's on you to protect your brand.
Yeah.
The Patriots went to war, protected their brand.
That's right.
Auburn went to war, protected their brand.
Mm-hmm.
The people who don't, they get hammered.
That's right. Yeah. And Robert Kraft and them beat the boys on technicalities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is it you're telling me we did wrong? They didn't go to prove that they were right. They just said, what are you telling me we did wrong? And when Goodell said what they did wrong, okay, we're going to disprove what you said. We ain't disproving the event. We ain't disproving what may have happened. We're going to disprove what you said. So what did you say we did? Okay, we're going to disprove that.
I'm all for it because at the end of the day, let's just be honest here. Who got better lawyers? Okay, Bob Kraft or on a collegiate level.
Yeah.
A university with a lot of money can go hire the best lawyers, or
most of them probably alumni.
Or you get a lawyer who's working on a salary for the NCAA. Who you think got the better lawyer?
Yep, we do. Yep, yeah. every time.
Protect your brand. That's it,
fellas. Can you tell me something? How does Dictator Goodell continue to keep a job?
Well, okay. So what you have to understand is, as commissioner of the NFL, NBA, whatever. You are hired by the owners.
Yep, work for the owners.
To work for the owners. Mm-hmm. And he has made the owners a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money.
From NFL, Europe, I mean, from the games over,
they're going to keep him in there because the coffers are full, the money's rolling in, and he is a major part of that. So while that's the case, we're going to keep him in. Now, as soon as he steps out of line, maybe mess up some money or something, i.e. pulling Tom Brady off the field for four games, as soon as you do that, we ain't riding with you anymore.
But there were several owners backing him on the Tom Brady deal.
Yeah, because they knew Tom Brady was lying. And he was,
that's right.
I mean, but this is my thing about the Patriots. They're cheaters.
They are.
I mean, and it's been shown time and time again
they are cheaters,
but they continue to get away with it. I just don't understand the double standard for
them. I'm going to say this, because at Alabama, at Auburn, at LSU, any top program, Texas, my bad, USC. You always get accused of these programs who roll in these recruiting classes. Anybody who doesn't get to recruit, what's the first thing they say?
You cheat.
Oh, you cheating. Yeah. You hate them. Well, you know what? Hey, don't get mad at me because I'm better at it.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
To me, Humidor, that's different from getting recruits to secretly taping some stuff in the NFL you shouldn't be taping, to secretly deflating balls, doing a playoff game to where it's going to give you more grip, make the ball easier to catch. I mean, recruiting, everybody knows the NCAA from Auburn, Alabama to To Alabama State.
Yeah.
DePry. ITT Tech. There's some stuff going on.
University of Phoenix.
And, you know, I know I'm jumping subjects a little bit.
It don't matter. It's our thing. It's our show.
I believe I understand why the NCAA exists, but it comes to the point where, like, why are y'all even here?
Yeah, what are we having for?
I mean, I know it's to keep the game for amateurs. Whatever. And what, but it gets to the point, like, whatever. I mean, why? Because, Humidor, I do agree with you if you say, hey, because you have to report to them if you've done something.
Yeah.
And, okay, I did this. Kingpin, I'm going to let you know what I did.
Yeah.
Because, okay, that's just like you as a father. I'm pretty sure if your child say, Pop, I want to let you know I shouldn't have done this, but I did it. You can say, well, son, I appreciate you telling me. We going to, you know, it's going to be some consequences. Right. Maybe not as harsh if I had found it on my own.
You came on,
we can work with that.
Up.
But like the Humidor said, if you go to the NCAA and say, hey, I fudged up a little bit. This is what happened. Here, I'm going to give you everything. You look into it. They're greasing you a first chance to get.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this regarding the Spygate thing. Now, the Deflategate, to me, was the most overblown thing I've ever seen, because 0.2 pound of air ain't the reason the Colts lost like 42-10.
No, I agree with you.
The score was tied up in the first half. They found out about the ball. Second half, Colts get ran. But regarding Spygate, ESPN played tapes of John Madden in like 1991, saying we recorded other people's hand signals. We recorded, if we could get the tape, we got it. So the Patriots, little becomes big. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
We know they push the envelope. They bend the rules. They do all of that stuff. I'm of the belief that a lot of teams are doing this. They're just better at it. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying they're just better at it.
Well, I tell you, in the words of the famous what's the black comedian, the one that quit in the middle
Dave
season of the show,
Dave Chappelle.
In the words of the famous Dave Chappelle, they are habitual line steppers.
Yeah, you know what? Charlotte Murphy actually said that during the Rick James one.
Charlie Murphy's playing Rick James.
No.
Charlie Murphy was talking about.
He said Rick James is a bitch of a line stepper. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They talking about Rick James got on his wife. They are a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, they are.
And that's my problem with them right there. And I'm kind of like Big Drake. The only difference I have with him is they're cheating in the play of the game. And I know that's really a technicality. Cheating's cheating. But you know what I'm saying? That's not even my problem. My problem is the arrogance at which they do what they do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to do it and screw you. I don't care. Yeah. So, now what?
That's what you do.
We take them. So
that's
what?
That's what you do if you're good at it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we know we covered our tracks. Come try it. So, you know, like I said, I think everybody's trying to find that competitive edge. I just think they're smarter at it.
Yeah.
And they're just better at it.
And I'll continue. I'll always go on record and say, you know, for even Auburn's part and the Cam Newton thing, I really think we really thought outside of the box at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, who would ever think to look for the money in the collection plate? Anyway, so I'm going to keep going. So you telling me I don't love the Lord enough to give him $200,000? Is that what you're going to try to say? Put that in writing. I bet you won't say it. Yeah,
don't question my Jesus.
That's right. Don't question me in the Lord. Yeah. That's all. All right, fellas, man. We got to talk a little bit, man, about college football. So last week, we talked about Auburn. To me, they still look like hot garbage. You listen to it. You've seen the stats. Other than Peyton Barber,
I would really
love to see the entire team and the coaching staff hold hands and jump in the lake of fire and brimstone.
Can I make a comment about this?
Come on. Okay. Come on, man.
Now, the Maidman family knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the resident Auburn fan.
No.
But Big Drake, Kingpin will tell you, I call it like I see it.
You respect the game.
I don't like what they're doing with the new quarterback.
Okay.
And so what I mean, what I watch... Yeah, Jeremy Johnson struggled. Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No, hold on. I can't let you minimize what he looked like.
Jeremy Johnson was a dumpster fire. I think Gus Malzahn changed quarterbacks. One, because if he doesn't, now his job is on the line. He's getting questioned now if you don't change quarterbacks.
I agree.
But when he changes quarterbacks, he eliminated the offense. Because they're not asking Sean White to do any of the stuff they asked Jeremy Johnson to do. Jeremy Johnson was throwing the ball down the field. He was taking the deep shots, just like what was going on last year with Nick Marshall. Sean White is not being asked to do anything besides hand off, throw 5 yards. Hand off, throw 5 yards.
But
Jeremy Johnson could do that. And I'm just, this is my personal opinion. Maybe I'm a little biased because he's from Montgomery and I'm from Montgomery. Yeah. And I want to see him do well. But I think they're kind of throwing him under the bus. And I believe if Auburn wants to get the season back on track, they have to get Jeremy Johnson on track. I don't think Sean White doing what they're doing right now is going to give them the chance to win the big games they got going down the road.
Hear me though, I'll say this, and I said this before we made the switch, because I was questioning why we didn't make the switch at halftime at LSU.
I agree.
He should have got pulled at that point in time. But I said this. I said, the reason why I want to make the switch is I know that if we put this red shirt freshman in, we're going to dumb down the playbook, and that gives us a better chance to win. I said, dumbing down the playbook is what we need. I said, we can't do that with a guy that's been in our system 3 years. I mean, you can't dumb down the playbook for somebody that knows the playbook backwards and forwards. So, Jeremy, don't get a pass on that. You know the playbook. You know, and you have the ability to do everything.
I'm going to disagree with both y'all a little bit.
Okay.
You cannot tell me, no matter what the play call, because in every play call, no matter what the hope is to maybe go 20 yards, 30 yards downfield,
there's a check.
There are always check downs.
Yep.
And nobody told JJ to throw the ball in triple coverage 40 yards down the field. Nobody told him that.
I agree with you there. There we go, kill. Hey, we're fighting the elements outside.
Yeah. I don't think they set Jeremy up for failure. I don't think because White's in, they're like, well, we're gonna do this because it's White. Now, I think we are running the ball more.
Yeah.
But I do think there came a point. Because we forget Jeremy Johnson had like a 50, 60-yard run touchdown during that LSU game. I think they attempted to run the ball more and do certain things, but because of his performance anxiety, he just stunk it up. I mean, he just stunk it up. I mean, I'm just not believing.
His decision-making on the field was still the...
Okay, so if this one route that may be a go route or a deep post that has three guys covering this one dude, mathematics, that means somebody wide open. Somebody.
That's right.
Duke Williams.
He knocks some folks out, he might be wide open.
Let me say this. In the Louisville game, I'm watching it, and I'm saying to myself, they're not even looking at Duke. I told my wife then, something's going on with Duke and Jeremy. And I found out they're roommates, and when you live in close quarters with folks, you're going to have squabbles.
Yeah.
And I think something... That's just, I don't know this for a fact.
Do you think it'd be some girlfriend stuff?
I don't know what it is, but obviously something was going on because they didn't even look. He didn't even look at them. But I honestly do believe Jeremy Johnson, he has the better arm now.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
There's no question.
I think I really do believe they have to get him back on track because he makes the offense. Well, I'll say this. When you're going to play Georgia, you're going to play Ole Miss and Alabama, whatever, you have to keep them out the box. And when I watched that Mississippi State game, I watched a very simple offense that did not threaten Mississippi State enough for them to bring their safeties up.
Nah.
And, okay, it looked better, but the production was not there.
Oh, it didn't look better to me. We just didn't turn the ball over.
But there you go. So it was a very safe.
It was vanilla. Yeah.
Very safe. It was one of those to me where it was like, well, I say this as an Alabama fan, we unfortunately lived through the Mike Shula years.
Yeah.
And it was an offense that, okay, we're not going to get blown out with this.
Right.
But we ain't going to win either. We ain't going to threaten you either.
Nah.
So we're going to be very vanilla and very plain, and we're not going to really give ourselves a chance to win. I'm a Spartan, baby. You I ain't going down on a knee. You either I'm gonna kill you or you carry me out of there. So if I'm rolling the dice, I'm going for broke. I just can't lay down like that. And I don't know if that's the right term, but I just feel like at some point they're gonna have Sean White in. They're gonna realize, okay, we want to be competitive and we want to compete like we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. We gotta do something different.
Yeah, but so let me get you this. So you saying you believe Jeremy Jones has the better arm? I think there's no question about the physical attributes. Who has the better arm, Russell Wilson or Jamarcus Russell?
There's Jamarcus Russell.
Who's the best physical athlete? There's no question of Jamarcus Russell's physical abilities at the quarterback position. But the thing between his two ears, when you got Plato there, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. And I think that's what we're facing here. I think there's no question of Jeremy's physical abilities. But if mentally he cannot handle the pressure of being a starting quarterback in the SEC, that's absolutely nothing you can do to overcome it.
And it ain't an easy job.
No.
And he should probably stop being in so much extracurricular activities in Montgomery.
That's probably right. You know,
because he's down on First Friday.
He's getting it up.
Yeah, he's getting it in.
Getting it up.
So.
He has to be on First Fridays or somewhere in Montgomery, because if he comes to the student act, they throwing hamburgers.
They throwing stuff at
him. They throwing hamburgers.
Did you listen to that show last week?
They said he walked into and they booed him and throwing stuff at him. So,
and my recommendation was for him to join ISIS.
Okay, so I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna just say this: fans of all schools, I don't have a problem with the students throwing uncooked chicken at people.
Okay.
I do have a problem when 40 and 50 year old men boo kids. It's not a good look. When you got recruits at your stadium, and it happens everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Georgia booed their quarterback to sleep last week.
Uh huh.
And I'm just thinking to myself, come on, guys. I know you ain't happy.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Yeah.
But don't boo your players when you got recruits on the sideline.
But just like the Black People Vine video where the ghost come in and old buddy runs out yelling and comes back and hits him with a chair. If I could have seen Jeremy Johnson on any of the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, I would have happily hit him with a chair.
In the knee.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a 35-year-old man. I'm just saying. I agree with you. I understand what you said, Big Dre. Like I said, those checkdowns are there. But I said when I said we should have pulled him is, if we put another quarterback in because of the inexperience in the offense of the other quarterbacks, our offensive play calling is going to become very vanilla. It's going to be.
So, do you think they can win going forward?
Yes, I do.
You think they can beat Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss?
Georgia didn't beat Bama, but Georgia ain't got number two plays. Run left and run right.
We can't beat eggs right now.
Yeah, but brother, I'd rather have, with what everybody else performing, I'd rather take my shot letting Peyton Barber have 50 carries a game.
I'm on for
and
it.
At least trying to be competitive.
I agree with that too, but we're not going to beat anybody.
I'm going to be honest.
I think we could have beat Mississippi State if Peyton Barber would have had 45 carries.
I don't.
Because their offense wouldn't have got on the field.
The only reason I say I don't know about that is because they dug themselves a hole so fast.
But that's what I'm saying. We should have started out that though. I'm talking the whole game. Never allow yourself to even get to that point, you know what I'm saying, the way you even get down. Because once you get to a gunfight, we'll never win. Because, I mean, we don't have the – like I said, without Jeremy on the field, I agree with – Sean White can't win the football game for us yet. Now, they talk about this kid's ability. He may be able to it one day as he progresses with the offense. You know what I'm saying?
But it ain't right now.
But right now, nah, he can't win a game for us.
Well, I'm
he
can
keep us
this.
Out of trouble.
I was critical of – and I'm critical of all coaches when they do this, because Brett Bielema's feeling it right now at Arkansas for the same reason. The guy at Tennessee's feeling this right now for the same reason. I'm very critical of coaches when the media pours on the hype and you pour it on right there with them.
Yeah, yeah, you right there. Yeah, we suck. You right, we suck.
Again, I'm an Alabama fan. No matter what our team is, you always hear Nick Saban say, we got stuff to work on.
Yeah. Nick Saban says you suck no matter what the outcome of the game was.
Yeah, I mean,
his language is always the same. He never changes. He is not driven at all by the media. So I agree with you, man. I think they did pour it on. So let me ask you this, Big Drake. Will we win an SEC game?
No.
Not Kentucky?
No.
Not Arkansas?
No. No.
If the offense is going to be what it is right now, that's my issue. Look, Mississippi State, I don't care what they're ranked.
They're not
Big Drake already told y'all what my feelings are about the state of Mississippi. Mississippi State is not a good team.
No.
It is Dak Prescott, no running game outside of Dak Prescott.
That's right.
One receiver, and their defense was bad last year. It's worse this year.
Yeah.
But the reason they could even somewhat hold on against Auburn was they just kept two safeties deep the whole game because they weren't scared of anybody. You want to throw a 5-yard slant? We'll give that to you up and down the field. But we're going
to
keep guys deep because we're not going to give up that play that gets y'all back in the game. And I think that's going to be what they're going to deal with going forward if they cannot get the guy with the arm to see the light. Somehow. I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I really don't know if they can. But I'm just saying it. Go out on your shield.
I think so. I'm gonna still remain hopeful. I'm picking two SEC games.
Okay.
I ain't gonna tell you which two. Giving us two SEC victories.
I'm gonna throw it out, David.
Yeah, we're gonna get two victories. I'm giving two SEC victories. I don't know where they at, but I'm just giving us two. But that's it.
I don't understand. I don't understand where the downfall happened. I don't understand how we got so soft.
Well, I'm gonna throw in my opinion on that.
Come on, okay. Come
all right. I read Phil still. I think he has the best preseason magazine, and he pointed out something that I never thought about. He said Uzoma and Fultz not being there hurts their running game, and it hurts the tempo because those guys could H back it, tight end it. You got extra blockers, and then if you wanted to pass, they just split out, so you don't have to sub, which keeps that tempo going. Now it looks like, if we're going to run, we got to sub in the run guys.
Yeah.
If we're going to pass, we got to sub in the receivers. And then with the run guys that come in, they're whiffing. They're missing blocks.
Yeah.
So it's
freshman.
It's not just the offensive line in that system.
Yeah.
It's using those H-backs and tight ends to outflank you. And when you outflank somebody, and I got
four. They get you to the outside.
Yeah, I got four blocking two over here. But then one of them four whiffs, it falls apart.
All season long, I haven't thought about the absence of the tight end position.
Yeah.
I have – the H-backs are improved. The two H-backs we got is probably as close we'll get back again to Jay Prosh because just the physical makeup.
He was a big deal.
But they're young. Yeah. Jay Prosh was a senior coming in. Yeah, had all experience.
So I'm not taking credit for that one. I read that, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I think he just hit the nail on the head.
That's right, because the one cat we got at tight end, he is a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ain't got no weight on him. I mean, he ain't nowhere near the par of what Flus and Uzama were. So I ain't think about that part. That probably is a big part of the game. What we're missing, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, man, I say it's disappointing time right now to be able to have to suffer through this. But we will too make it in. All right, so the other big game this week, man, was the I think there is still a warrant out, if I'm not mistaken. There's the Michael Vick arrest warrant out for Nick Saban for the animal the animal protection. Peter was all outside of that stadium, man. Brother, the things that Alabama did to Georgia during that game, and Big Drake, we talked about it in that game. I said, the thing that makes me skeptical about picking Georgia to beat Bama, I said, is I have no clue what Georgia's quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
Your response was, well, I know Alabama suck. I said, well, I thought Bama found a quarterback during the Ole Miss game. Because I thought Coker, he came out, as the ghost of Joe Namath. I know Namath ain't dead yet. But he came out, with looking like that. But I had no clue what Georgia had.
Yeah.
And he proved to me Saturday what they had, and that is straight garbage. Straight, hot, greasy, stinking garbage.
Well, but it was Georgia's entire team, though.
Yeah, nobody showed up.
I mean, from special teams to offense to defense, quarterback, linebackers, defensive end. I mean, it was the whole team.
Yeah, water boy.
And
I think equipment manager.
They folded.
Ball boy.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're going to start some stuff before the game,
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to start some stuff before you better, the game. You better
finish it. So speak on that, because a lot of people didn't see it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the one particular thing that jumped everything off, but I do know Georgia started it.
Okay? Uh-huh.
So I will elaborate on that.
Yes, come on.
So what happened?
It was a clip, and they didn't show it on the game, but it hit Twitter, Instagram, all
right.
When Alabama ran out of their tunnel, it seemed to me like Mark Richt told his guys, meet them at that tunnel, and let's get it in. So we walk out the tunnel, and it's just it could have been a fight, but it wasn't. But it was just a whole lot of in each other's faces. And I'm kind of like, okay, Alabama's coming in desperate. We can't start the season off. We can't start the SEC play 0-2. And Alabama has been that team for the last
been dominant
7 years.
That's right.
Don't poke the lion.
Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear.
But the other thing that happened with that was, before we got off our bus, they were rocking the buses. Had the mascot out there rocking the buses. That was another clip a lot of people didn't see. And Georgia put up billboards all over the state saying, beat Bama. So they kind of made this thing huge in their own mind.
Yeah, they hyped this tail whooping up.
And as a team,
as
a team coming in, Alabama, everybody's telling you the dynasty's dead.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's over. It was a nice run. It started with the blackout. It's going to end here at Georgia.
Okay.
That's going to be the bookend.
Yeah, that's.
And you know what they're sitting there thinking?
Okay.
Bet.
Okay, yeah.
And the other thing I'm going to say is, I think by now it has been established, running the I form between the tackles against Alabama ain't a good way to go about trying to beat them.
No. And then, so let me, I want to ask you this, Jeff. You're a diehard Bama, you went there. This is what my thing, I want to ask your perspective. I think this front four is the best front four Alabama's ever had.
I will agree. I would even probably say the front seven. And I know but not. If you take individual players and compare this guy to Mosley or this guy to McClain or this guy to Hightower, the individual guy is not going to be better, but the linebackers as a unit and the defensive line as a unit has more talent and is deeper.
Okay.
What you got to think about is, when McClain was there, we had Corey Raymond playing linebacker.
Yeah, you had nobody come out after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
need nobody. They had to come out.
But McClain was so dominant that he could make up for some of these less athletic guys. I think we got more athletic guys, and I think we got a much stronger, better defensive line. So I think that front seven as a unit might be his best as a unit. Maybe not, you know, maybe we don't have a Darius or a McClain, but as a unit, I think they might be better.
And the only reason why I say I don't think the front seven is, to me, I actually think your linebackers are very average, even in the SEC this year. Without that front four, I think your linebackers would get destroyed. I have no they're talented, they're young, they're thin. I have zero confidence in your linebackers.
That's why I say that's a unit. Because if your line ain't good, it don't matter what you got at linebacker, they can't get guys off of it.
But I do think this front four is the best I've ever seen.
And it's like a front nine, because they're running guys in and out.
They do. They got eight. Yeah. They eight deep. Yeah. They eight deep. But in those eight, at that four, those four positions on the front line, the way they were manhandling Georgia's offensive line, I mean, they were textbook. It was almost as if they were blocking tackling dummies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were picking them up. It was like an instructional video of saying, hey, this is how you play the two-gap technique. You pick a man up, you check the left, you check the right, you toss him, and you get him. You know, and so, you know, I was expecting to see like an assistant coach just being tossed to and fro, but it wasn't. It was Georgia's offensive line. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was complete. I agree with you, lining up in the eye, running against that front four. And so I am intrigued to see in 2 weeks, is it? 2 weeks when you get LSU?
I think it's our first game in November.
Okay. I am intrigued to see. Now, so I'll say this. I do think LSU's offensive line is significantly better than Georgia's.
Oh, without a doubt.
They can match in size. They can match in strength. So I am intrigued to see if an experienced offensive line can be manhandled like that. I still don't think Fournette and Miles is going to be able to, and I think he'll learn from what Rick did. He's not going to just run the ball in between the tackles.
I hope not.
But the challenge with Les going to be is Les ain't got no quarterback to do anything different.
And I will say this because we jumped to the LSU game. I will say this. Something about the LSU game with it's Nick Saban and Les Miles
is just different.
Get dumb.
Yeah, they do.
They get into a pissing contest to try and prove that my team's more physical than yours.
Yep.
And I think if you're Alabama, what you want to do is get up quick and make Brandon Harris have to throw the ball.
That's right.
We're not going to do it.
No.
They're going to run the ball for 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and we're going to line them to do the same thing. And that plays into LSU's comfort zone, and that's why that game is always close. The 1 year we opened up on them, 2 years ago at Alabama, we beat them 37 to like 14 or something.
That's right.
But it was because we just said, okay, we're just going to go ahead and talk. We got better athletes on the outside.
Yeah, we're going to
beat them. Let's go score and see how
demoralizing just, we can make this.
Yeah, and just see if you want to really hand the ball off 40 more times when you're down 21.
And I even think, you know, Nick Chubb went over 100, but he only went over 100 because he broke that, 70, 80-yard run. Had it not been that, he wouldn't have been over 100.
It was 38-3 when he broke the run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was playing against third string by then. So it really made no difference of what he tried to do after that, man. So I thought, you know, and you know, living in the state of Georgia right now, it was actually very refreshing to me. You know, to be able to see, because they were getting a little smug, and you know, and so it was a little bit refreshing to be able to see. It was the same feeling, you know, that I had week before last when you lost to Ole Miss after we got drummed by LSU, because I was in Alabama that week. I was like, so if I have to go to church tomorrow at Bama 1, it's going to be tough for me to handle this right now. So being in Georgia, seeing, I mean, they were so, they weren't even, you know,
they were concerned.
The week both of us lost, you know, people saying, yo, how the Alabama and Auburn fans interact with both of them lose? It was like, yeah, man, what you do this weekend? Not much. You know what I'm saying? But when Georgia got destroyed over there last week, I mean, brother, I don't even know if I seen the Georgia fans. I mean, they completely went in the house. They ain't come back out, man. Because it was that bad. It really was.
It was demoralizing. It was a just physical
spanking.
Yeah, it didn't matter what we tried to do. They just, well, they were way stronger, and we were playing men.
That's right.
And we had boys.
Yep. That's
so
what
I mean. I'm with you, and I, you know, I watch the game, and I see the Georgia fans just, they're getting out of there. I mean, they're leaving the game.
Yeah.
And the announcers make, you know, they kind of like down the fans a little bit, and I'm kind of like, you know what? I don't blame them.
Yeah. Why?
You know,
why you
paid a lot of money to be there. Mm-hmm. It's raining. The weather's terrible, and your guys decide not to show up. Everybody says, "Oh man, I'm a diehard fan." I tell people right now, I'm a diehard Alabama fan, but the loyalty is conditional. And the condition is, if I'm going to show up, I need you to show up.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to care more about the game than you do.
That's right.
If you want to go out there and be down 38-3, you think I'm Alabama? I want to sit in the rain.
That's right.
I mean, once the game is in hand, I'm headed to the car because I'm a fan, dude. I want to be entertained.
That's right.
You didn't show up. I'm not finna sit here and keep dealing with that.
Nah. Yeah. Like I said, you didn't choose to come, and it's me choosing to stay. So,
don't ask me to care more about the game than you do.
Hey, folks, y'all know what it is. It's the Made Man Radio Show. Hey, y'all get a special treat, man, tonight. Like I said, we chilling out on the back deck. We won't even give you two episodes. We ain't even going to try to throw all this in one episode, man.
Which we've thrown a lot in.
Yeah, we already. And so, like I said, this feels like we've been working our way out. We've been trying to hit it what we could. But tonight, man, I tell you, you're going to get old school Made Man Radio Show time, man. So, man, like I said, we're going to take a quick break, man. We're going to come on back, man. You know, we got plenty more football to talk about. We're going to talk about Ole Miss getting shot going down to Florida. And I will go on record and say, you know, last week, Big Drake said, KP, you're thinking more at your heart than your head. But almost every game I questions though, you know, I got talked out of picking the winner, man.
This was my first bad week.
Yeah,
and I had a horrible week.
Yeah,
I did. But hey, when we come back,
yeah,
since we've kind of been doing this every Thursday,
uh-huh,
gotta talk about Empire.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about it. And I got to tell the listeners the epiphany I had at why I am so attracted to this show and the place that it currently plays in my heart. And so I'll share it. I share that with the family, man. We'll come back. Man, you know how it is, man. This is the Made Man Radio Show, man. We on the back deck. We are taping, as I was corrected, not necessarily live because it's delayed when y'all here.
Yes.
But we are taping on location from the back deck. You know the way to hold on about.
Fine or partner, but I'm overstuffed. Going to rubber, got a new